Move up. Move it. Come.
I just will.
Come and join me.
You scoot over?
Me? I'm good. Well, I'm, as you might guess, not really a traditional Merry Christmas type person, but Merry Christmas. And talking about weekend last, whenever I was gone, my nephew was married down close to McAllen, and that went very well. And him and his new bride, you know, I saw them get married, and I was a witness to that. So it did go well. And thank y'all for allowing me and Gary to switch so that we could, he could be here and I could be down there. So I do ask that you would continue to pray for my nephew, Matthew. New couples need all the prayers they can get. So older couples need all the prayers they can get. So continue to pray for each other.
Did you see him laugh?
What's that?
Did you see him laugh?
No, I did not see him. My peripheral vision is right here.
He did it quietly, so I wouldn't hear him.
Well, anyways, we all need the prayers, all the prayers that we can get, every one of us. Now, I've been thinking about something that, you always hear the first part of this book, or I should say a letter. It's actually a letter that John wrote. You hear a lot about the first chapter, but you don't hear a lot about the second chapter. And so I've been thinking about a particular word in the second chapter. And the particular word is only found once in the entire Bible, that particular word. It doesn't mean that Hebrew or Greek word is not also in there. It's in there throughout different applications and different verses. But it is the only time in the King James Bible that particular word is used. The ideas and thoughts with that word are in the entirety of the second chapter of John. Or second chapter of 1 John. 1 John, it's the letter that he wrote, and it's contained in the second chapter of that letter. And there's another thought here that John is continuing throughout the entirety of not only his gospel, but also his letters that he wrote. Even in Revelations, it talks about the world, or the worlds and that idea. And there are at least four worlds mentioned in John's writings, at least four. And there may be five or six, but at least four. And so if you just see that particular word, you automatically have a particular thought or a particular idea depending on how you've been led in your understanding of that particular word. And so I want you to keep in mind the things that John previously wrote about the world and the worlds and things of that nature. And I may go to the 17th chapter to look at that here in a minute. But I wanted to get that out there so that you would start thinking about the world and the worlds and everything. And before I go any further, I want to say that, you know, this time of year we're thinking about the birth of Christ. Well, if you look at John's writings, the first chapter, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. That is, if it wasn't for the birth of Christ, he couldn't have said that. He couldn't have said, we have handled, we have touched, we have seen. He couldn't have said any of that because he wouldn't have come into the world. Somebody might say, well, what about angels? Well, there's an entrance. There would have been an entrance into the world for someone to have seen that. And so we have the birth of Christ, which, you know, Christmas time we celebrate that. But it should be an everyday celebration. And I think that's what the apostles, all of the apostles really are getting to, that we should celebrate Christ every day of our lives. And not just Christmas time, but every day of our lives, we should be thankful for the birth of Christ, for his life that he lived, the walk that he walked, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the relationship that he gave us with his Father and our God. Because without his birth, he could not have died, he could not have atoned for the sins that we have. But I'm going to start reading here in the second chapter, and bear with me. I'm going to try to read the entire chapter because there's a lot contained in it and a lot of points that should be made that they're not always presented. But my little children, so notice there who he's talking to, my little children. Is he talking about his own children? No, he's talking about the church or the children of God. And these things write I unto you, so he's writing to God's children, that ye sin not. I don't want any of you to sin, that's what he's saying, and you don't want me to sin. And that is very evident throughout Scripture. And if any man sin, this is very important, if any man sin. Okay, have you sinned today? Have you had a wicked thought today? Have you had a discouraging word that came to your mind? You can ask my son. I have them all the time. I yell at him, I get on to him, he's still my son, and he sometimes gets on to me because I am wrong. And that is part of being human. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, which is a lawyer, a go-between, a mediator, with the Father. He's with the Father. He's seated at the right hand of God, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. That's a long, big word, but what does it mean?
Payment.
See, we read things all the time that we don't understand because we don't know what the word means. He is the sacrifice. He is the only sacrifice. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, not those of us in the room, those of us that read the letter, not just us, but also for the sins of the whole world. Okay, so in the what you call the Armenian world, or in the mainstream majority of thinkers, think about, and this is why I wanted you to start thinking about that particular word and about John's writings, the whole world. We do not believe that that is a reference to the Adamic race. We believe that that is reference to the family of God, the world that he chose. And to illustrate that, I'm going to go over here to another writing that John wrote in the Gospel of John, to the 17th chapter. And I've talked about the 17th chapter before, and you should go to it every now and then, because this, the 17th chapter, is the Lord's Prayer. A lot of people would take you to another place and say, well, this is the Lord's Prayer. It's the 12th or 13th chapter, John, I can't remember. But that is not the Lord's Prayer, that is our prayer. This, the 17th chapter, is the actual prayer that Jesus is praying to God the Father. And it starts out, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Now, just going through there, I'm going to skip around just to point out all the worlds. The sixth verse, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." Okay. "Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Okay, so there's a particular world God gave to his Son. Did he give him all of the people? No. He gave him these that are manifest. "I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Then we skip on down. And of course, there's a lot of reading in between all these, so understand that. In the ninth verse, it says, "I pray for them." So this is definitely a prayer. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world." So he's not praying for the Adamic race. And you will never find that Christ ever prays for the Adamic world. In fact, you find just the opposite. Whenever he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "Ye are of your father the devil. The deeds of your father ye shall do." Now, that's pretty obvious that they are not included in the world that he's praying for. I'm going to continue reading right there because it's kind of important. "But for them which thou gavest me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world," referencing the physical earth, "but these are in the world, and I came to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, and they, that they may be one as we are one." So you can see right there that there's at least three different worlds. There's the earth, there's the Adamic world, and there is the world that he's praying for. And that is what I believe that the second, if you continue reading, you can spot those differences in the 14th verse, the 15th verse, the 16th verse, the 21st verse, and so on and so forth throughout this prayer. And this is a prayer that he prayed to God the Father. So, when you're thinking about the second chapter of this first epistle that John writes, and it says the whole world, he's not talking about the Adamic world. He's talking about the ones that God gave to his Son. That's the word, the not the Adamic world, but the spiritual world. And we're going to see that in a minute. I think. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. How do we know that we know him? We keep his commandments. And you know, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. There's a lot of people out there, and if you've never met them, I could probably introduce you to a few that have no conscience about what they do in life. They have absolutely no conscience about anything that they do. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And you know, whenever I say we keep his commandments, there is something within the child of God, and I'm gonna get to that here in a minute, that causes the child of God to automatically say, that is wrong. I should not be doing this, or I should not be doing that. And even when we do things, we're condemned within the depth of our spirit, within the depth of our soul. We're condemned within, and we have condemnation. The Spirit either accuses us or excuses us of sin. And forgive me, but I'm not going to reference every particular thought that is referenced in the Scriptures. If you come to me and you say, where do you find that? Where do you find that it either condemns or excuses us? Come to me later and I'll reference that. And I'll get you a reference on that. But the Spirit either is condemning us or it is excusing us of sin. The whole time that we live, from the time of our new birth till the time we die, that Spirit is within us condemning or excusing us of sin. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, and this is a very important part, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now, in him, love of God. We love him because he first loved us. That's where love comes from. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, referencing Christ. Brethren, I write no new commandment. And there again, this isn't to the Adamic world. This is to the church, brethren, followers of Jesus Christ, the children of God. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Now, right there, what commandment did Christ give? You know, we have the Ten Commandments, and we have the Levitical law, and then we had a lawyer that asked him, what is the great commandment? And he gave us two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy spirit. I can't quote it, but we can reference it. And the second one is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Those are the two laws that Christ, or the two commandments that Christ gave us. And love, that is the commandment that God, through Christ, gave us. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. It doesn't say he's going to hell. It says there's no occasion of stumbling. There's a vast difference between you're eternally lost and stumbling. An advocate with the Father. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If we stumble in life, we've sinned. But if we just use those commandments that God gave us that through Christ, love God and love our neighbor, we're not going to stumble. And also, in reference, let him that is strong, and I can't quote it. I can see it, but I can't quote it. Restore such an one. We're supposed to love each other and restore each other. If I'm feeling low, you need to pray for me. If Brother Wade's feeling low, we need to pray for him. If he's doing something that could harm him, and we all have and harbor thoughts about what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes I'm right about that, and sometimes I'm wrong about that. You know, what is righteousness? Right? What is, kind of like Pilate said, what is truth? Christ, and the way he walked, and the way he dealt with people. That is truth. That is righteousness. That is. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in the darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And we can become blind from time to time. And we don't see what we need to see. You know, we may have a beam in our eyes, and we're trying to get the thorn out of our brother's eyes. And in doing so, we fail to understand the depravity that we have. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Forgiven. That goes back to that propitiation for sin. It's he was the propitiation for sin. I'm not the propitiation for sin. So it's nothing that I do that atones or is sacrificed to alleviate or appease the separation between me and God. It all comes through Christ. Whether I believe it or not, it comes through Christ. And ye are, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. Not for my namesake or not your namesake, but for his namesake, he forgave us of our sins. Grace and mercy. Why? Why would he forgive the sins that I have? Why would he be an advocate with the Father for me? Why would he stand in between me and God? And the reason for that is because we were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before time ever began. Before the foundation of the world, we were in God's thoughts and in his mind and in his heart to love us. And for Christ's sake, he forgave us. For his name's sake, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That, in a nutshell, is it. Do you love the world? Do you love the things that are in the world? Now, I might love a good fajita lunch. That is according to my body's taste and everything like that. But, you know, I watch these sci-fi, or these programs, not sci-fi, but programs where they go in and they figure out who done it. Whenever I was running on the ambulance, some of the things that I saw is unspeakable and unimaginable. And there's a world out there that the majority of us, you, have never seen. And there's a world out there that some of you have seen that I have never seen. And it's something that we never really talk about except in close company. And we talk about different things that we know are out there. But we don't love the world. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And notice right there that the world passeth away. All of this is going to be gone someday. And we're going to be with the Father because we're going to live on. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that the last time, we have been in the last time, and the Revelation letter that is written is the last time, and the Revelation letter is totally misunderstood, is written to the church and churches, and there are things that contain in the Revelation letter that deal with the church, and it deals with God's children as they walk in life, and part of what John's saying right here is exactly what the Revelation letter is talking about. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now. You want to know when Antichrist is going to be here? Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. You know, people have been saying it's the last time for centuries. Well, it is the last time. It is, we are in the last time, the latter times. And we have been since the apostles. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And I've seen this particular scripture right here used because somebody got out of fellowship with a church and they said, those people went out from us and they're going to hell. And that, just because somebody got out of fellowship, we need to restore one another. Because I might be wrong and you might be wrong. And through doctrine and through scripture and through long suffering, we need to pay attention to the doctrines that the church has. And we need to be in fellowship with one another, that we love one another, that we love God, and that we love each other, and that we love His Son, Jesus Christ, for the things that He has done for us. And I want y'all to remember that they went out from us. And they did. They're no longer with us. Some people that we know may not no longer be with us. They may be in another church somewhere. But I've seen good people that have gone out from us that are continuing to worship Jesus Christ. They may not hold the same doctrines that I have, but they love God. But ye have an unction. And that's the word. That's the only time that particular word is used in all of Scripture. Ye have an unction. Now, what does that word mean? It's going to tell, see.
Anointing. That's what mine says.
Atonement. Or anointing. You're right. Yeah, that's what it does say. In the center reference, if you have a center reference Bible, it does say anointing. And that's what I learned in a language class that I took one time. A writer will a lot of times write a big word, and in the next sentence they will write a smaller word that means the same thing. And so you can generally follow the line of thought through the various words. But you're right. An anointing. A religious anointing. An anointing of oil or setting apart. A sanctification. That's what that word means. An unction. But ye have an unction. Where does that unction come from? Does it come from within? All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is start thinking about God. No, that will never happen. The Adamic man will never search and seek out God. And if you want reference for that, we can go to Romans letter or we can go to the Corinthian letter. The Spirit... The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither indeed can he know them, for they are foolishness unto him. That's the natural man. That's the natural man that we have. This nature, this natural, desires and lusts after the things in life. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Do you know all things?
You don't.
No, but you know, love God and love your neighbor. You have those two commandments in your heart. In the Hebrew letter, and in Jeremiah, we know by those scriptures that God has written the things, His laws in our heart, and given us something that the Adamic world does not have. And if you want me to go to the 13th chapter of Hebrews, I'll go there and read that. Or the 32nd and 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, we can go there and read that. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. And those laws that God gave are written not by any man, but by God. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And remember a little while ago I was telling